This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today we are speaking with Dr. Samir Jajirikar, a practicing plastic surgeon and partner at the Dallas Plastic Surgery Institute. Dr. J is best known for performing gluteal augmentation with fat, also known as the Brazilian butt lift procedure. Dr. Jajirikar, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Oh, thank you so much for allowing me to speak with you today. It's a great opportunity.
And you're more than welcome. Our pleasure. Looking forward to hearing from you per your expertise. So knowing that you specialize in the field of buttock augmentation, what would you say is the most frequent misconception patients have about the procedure and or results from a surgery like this?
Well, you know, there's so many misconceptions that it's hard to know exactly where to begin. But that being said, let's break this answer down into about two parts. The first for patients is how to achieve realistic results with a Brazilian butt lift, which is basically, in general terms, is liposuction of the trunk with subsequent fat transfer to the buttocks. So often, patients come to me with wish pictures of celebrities or other people they find on the internet. Many times, the patients that are coming to me are overweight, whereas the people in the wish pictures are super thin. The desired results are really tiny waist and massive buttocks. And for patients that are obese, this is just not achievable. Liposuction, which is a major part of the Brazilian butt lift, is great for sculpting areas of problem fat, but it's not great for making someone really skinny. So if you're overweight and you want to be smaller, truly great results come from losing weight first and then having liposuction. That's really the only way to get skinny and to get the results you may want with the Brazilian butt lift. I think the other big misconception is about fat disappearing after surgery. So with the Brazilian butt lift, you are performing liposuction, transferring fat cells to a new location, and then requiring new blood vessels to grow into those fat cells for them to survive. So not unexpectedly, a certain percentage of those fat cells, usually around 30 or 40%, don't survive the fat transfer. You can generally get a pretty good idea what fat cells have survived about 3 months postoperatively. But in order to promote fat cell survival during that three-month period, you have to have the patients engage in a low-pressure environment for the buttock. This basically means not overfilling the buttock at the time of surgery and then not allowing the patients to sit or lay on their butt whatsoever for the first couple of weeks after surgery and then protecting it even further for the first several weeks and months. That being said, when 3 months have gone by and the fat cells that have taken are there, they're taken. That doesn't mean, however, that the buttock won't shrink or swell in size. Because we've used fat to perform the transfer, the results are dynamic. So if someone gains weight due to inactivity or overeating, the fat cells will swell and the butt will increase in size. Conversely, if someone loses weight after surgery because of exercise or disciplined eating, their fat cells in their buttock will shrink. So many people come in a year or two after surgery telling me that their buttocks are shrinking, when really they're just losing weight and their butt's responding to their weight loss.
I recently read that you were named to the Inter Society Buttock Fat Grafting Safety Task Force. That sounds quite fascinating and also important. What is the role of the task force designed for, and how do you anticipate it will affect future surgical processes?
Well, you know, as you've obviously been paying attention to the news, it's really not been uncommon to hear reports of patients dying after Brazilian butt lifts. The reports are becoming so frequent that it's really alarming. The deaths are the result of trauma to deep veins within the buttock with subsequent high-pressure injection of fat cells. This leads to a phenomenon known as pulmonary fat embolism, in which fat cells travel through the circulation to the lungs and essentially clog the lungs, preventing normal oxygen delivery to the bloodstream and gas. The exact frequency of death is unknown, but it's thought to be really high, like somewhere around 1 in 3,000 cases, which makes Brazilian butt lift the deadliest operation in plastic surgery. The thing is that these deaths are entirely preventable using safe technique, and that's where the purpose of this international multi-society buttock fat grafting safety task force comes in. It's bringing together some of the leading experts in the world in gluteal fat augmentation to see if we can come to a consensus on safe practices. This specifically will give guidance to surgeons in regards to safe and dangerous places to inject fat within the buttock. which planes of injection to use when injecting, which cannulas to use when injecting, how to angle the hands when injecting, et cetera. We've had a lot of incredible dialogue, and very soon we'll be able to offer some specific guidelines to surgeons throughout the world, which will be disseminated through all the national plastic surgery societies. Hopefully this will prevent needless deaths moving forward.
Now, I'm not sure how many of our listeners are familiar with the term gluteal augmentation with fat, more commonly known as a Brazilian butt lift. Can you describe on a higher level this procedure for us and what most patients are interested in this procedure are helping to get out of it? And also, did the Brazilians coin the term?
So basically, the Brazilian butt lift is moving fat from undesirable places of your body to a desirable one. Specifically the buttock. Although most patients' focus is on the obvious benefits of creating a larger butt, to me, the best thing this operation does is allow me to change a patient's body shape. By subtracting fat using liposuction from the abdomen, the love handles, and the lower back, I can usually shrink a patient's waist. And then by adding that fat to the buttocks and outer thighs, I can generate volume and curves. This combination of waist cinching and fat addition to the buttock and thighs can create a curvy body shape that patients previously could only dream about. So patients who previously had a boxy or square-shaped frame can emerge from surgery with an hourglass silhouette. So, you know, giving you the high-level description you're looking for, basically we start off with liposuction. I always focus on performing liposuction of the abdomen, the love handles, and the lower back. I collect that fat in a canister which sits on a vibration platform, which allows the fat to separate from plasma, which is also coming out during liposuction. We then injectify purified fat into the buttock using an automated system that allows for low-pressure injection. Care is taken to ensure that we avoid deep veins, obviously, as traumatizing them could inject the fat into veins and some of the fatal complications we discussed earlier. Now, in regards to the origins of the name of the procedure, that's a little bit controversial. The procedure did start in Central and South America, with Brazil being one of the first countries in which it had popularity. Definitely a possibility for the name, but I think most people attribute the name to the cultural phenomena we've seen over the past few years. It used to be that we considered the ideal female form to be relatively straight. It wouldn't be uncommon in Dallas, where I practice, to have patients with tiny waists, tiny butts, and large breasts. That's not a very natural look. In Brazil, however, there's always been much more of an acceptance of the natural female form, which includes curves. As this has gained greater popularity in the U.S., we now strive to add volume to the buttocks and thighs, creating a much more natural look, which has always been the norm in Brazil. And that's the reason why it's coined the Brazilian butt lift. We're creating the look in this country that's always been ideal in Brazil.
Most informative and makes a lot of sense today. We are joined by Dr. Samir Jajirakar, a practicing plastic surgeon and partner at the Dallas Plastic Surgery Institute, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, after reading your biography, I recognize that you don't only perform cosmetic procedures on gluteal parts, but that it is really what you're best known for. How did you carve out a special niche for yourself in an industry so densely populated by other physicians? And also, how did you know what was the right specialization for you?
You know, I started doing this operation more than a decade ago before it really had gained much mainstream popularity in the U.S. My initial patients were largely from word of mouth as a result. Once this operation started gaining popularity, I think the Kardashians had a lot to do with it. I essentially had a head start on everyone else. My peers recognized this, and I've been invited for years to speak at national meetings to instruct others on the technical nuances of this procedure. I've always been really passionate about doing this operation. You know, in many ways, it's the ultimate game changer. If you think about it, in what other circumstances is fat ever desirable? With this procedure, though, I can move fat from an unwanted place and put it in a desirable place. Thus, as people gain weight in the future, fat in the desirable place swells, and it actually accentuates the results of their surgery and makes their butts look more shapely. I think that's why I love doing this operation so much. It's a complete paradigm shift in how we think about fat, and it really can be a game changer for patients.
Now, from my experience with medical professionals here on eHealth Radio, doctors are always engaging in lectures, academic research, etc. Was this something that you always knew that you would be a part of in your career? And what upcoming presentations do you have coming up looking ahead?
So even from the time that I was a medical student, I was giving lectures. I knew that it would be something that would be very important for me so that I could continue to give back to the field of medicine, and more specifically plastic surgery, which has given me so much both professionally and personally. In terms of meetings, I actually just spoke on a panel focused on safety with gluteal fat grafting 2 months ago at the American Society of Plastic Surgeons meeting in Orlando. This is the largest plastic surgery meeting in the world. I've actually got a few presentations coming up as well. Next month, I'm speaking at the Dallas Cosmetic Symposium, which is an international meeting in my hometown. I'll be on a panel on Brazilian butt lifts, discussing my view on the optimal planes of injection for fat within the buttock. In April, I'll be speaking on a panel on fat grafting at the American Association of Plastic Surgeons meeting in Seattle, discussing specifically my experience as a high-volume fat injector into the buttock. I'm particularly excited about that meeting because it's considered to be one of the most prestigious meetings in plastic surgery, and an invitation to speak there is kind of a big deal. And then in May, my patient series will be presented by one of the fellows at Dallas Plastic Surgery Institute at the American Society for Aesthetic Plastic Surgery meeting in New York City. This is the largest plastic surgery meeting focused on just cosmetic surgery in the world.
Well, you're certainly busy and sharing your expertise all over the world, and we can't thank you enough for spending a moment with us here today on eHealth Radio. In conclusion, if any of our listeners are thinking of going to medical school, what is a tip that you would give them, almost like giving advice to a younger version of yourself?
You know, I would tell them that medical school is a grind, to say the least. Make sure you pick a field about which you can be passionate. Too many of my friends in other specialties have experienced burnout. It's a lot of hard work just to get into medical school, then to get through medical school, and then to continue throughout your entire career. You need to love whatever field you choose in order to make it through.
And that certainly is the truth, and we can't thank you enough for sharing your advice in those regards. Where can listeners get all the details on Dallas Plastic Surgery Institute, and how could one also be in touch?
Well, they can either reach us by telephone, which is going to be 214-827-2814, or on the web. It's dallasplasticsurgery.pro, that's .pro.
Excellent. Again, Dr. Jajira Kaur, it's been our pleasure to have had you. Have a great day out there in Dallas, and thanks for joining us here on eHealth Radio. It certainly has been our pleasure.
Thanks so much.
We have been speaking with Dr. Samir Jajira Kaur, a practicing plastic surgeon and partner at the Dallas Plastic Surgery Institute. And for further information, simply visit dallasplasticsurgery.pro. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.